Happy Valentine's Day. Here comes episode 127.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and this is the Valentine's Day week edition of the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle Podcast. Doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent. Maybe you're even just dreaming about getting an RV. Don't even have one yet. Anyway, this show is for you, because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting fun and interesting people, boondocking, discovering new places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So we welcome you and are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, as we have been celebrating Valentine's Day, we thought we would give this podcast a warm and fuzzy feel this week with some tips and some ideas and question and answers and lists about special places and RV lifestyle information that even if you don't have that special Valentine, maybe will get your heart right with the great outdoors and all those wonderful places to go out there and explore. I have been saving lots of questions that have come in over the past several months from our audience, questions that you have sent Jennifer and me by email, questions that are more, I just didn't know what to do with them. They were more personal than dealing with direct RV subjects. So I have kind of put them all in a little file, and I thought, well, you know, it's Valentine's Day week, and since some of them are kind of personal, I'm not saying we're going to answer all of them, but we'll at least talk about them. I thought I'd use those questions, and we're going to interview ourselves and answer some of the more revealing questions about us that you have been asking, our relationship, and just how two people can get along out there in a small motorhome. So that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we have tech and pet tips, RV travel advice, and some romantic RV memories from our off-the-beaten-path reporters, Tom and Patty Burkett. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, happy Valentine's, dear Jennifer.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you too, Mike.
This is, well, we're recording this actually on Valentine's Day, and this is released the day after, so it's Valentine's week. We are taking off very shortly after we finish recording this podcast and heading south in search of spring.
As soon as I get done at the dentist.
Yes. We actually would have left, I think, last night. That was our plan. We have a class that we teach on Monday nights up in Michigan, and we were going to leave last night. But you got had some dental stuff that needs to get fixed before we hit the road again, and, you know, got to do that. So,
and hopefully this time it's going to work. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know if we'll be going. We might be unpacking, packing, and unpacking.
Yeah, I packed up all this morning, took Bo to the health club or the dog
club,
park.
The doggy health club.
The doggy health club while you went to the real health club. And so we're ready to hit the road. And we're going to do it a little differently. We know where we're going. We're eventually going down the Emerald Coast in Florida. And then we're going next weekend for a big Mardi Gras smoking on the bayou gathering from our friend Pogo down there in on the Mississippi coast for Mardi Gras parades. That'll be always fun.
It will be.
And then, but on the way down, we're just going to kind of just let those serendipity winds take us where things, hey, let's pull off the road and look at this. I know one place we're going.
Too bad I can't take wagers as to how much we're going to serendipity and how much we're going to put the pedal to the metal.
Well, I know one place we're going.
Okay.
We're going on a pilgrimage to the Jack Daniel's Distillery in Tennessee. We have gone by that many times. We've said, we should stop. We did the Bourbon Trail some years ago and found it very interesting, and so we're going to do the Jack Daniel's Distillery.
The Bourbon Trail was super fun.
All right. So we're going to do that, and then who knows what else we'll stop and see as we head south. So we're going to do a lot of it. We'll do some Facebook Live. We'll even do Facebook Live on tonight. Well, it'll be last night for those of you who are listening to this as it comes out on Wednesday, but you can find it on the Facebook, our Road Trekking Facebook group. We'll do a Facebook Live
And for those that listened last week, they know what our concern is, having a pet. So often when we want to stop when we're traveling, we think, how warm is it outside? How warm is it going to be in the road trek? And how long can we leave Bo? There's all the Bo or the having a pet. You always have to be thinking about a pet. I mean, so many times we have to go, you go, and then I go because we can't leave a pet.
I mean, we love having the pet with them, but there's no doubt about it. If you're thinking about getting a pet and RVing, give some serious thought because they will cramp your style. I mean, you know, now some people, well, I don't want to go anyplace. My pet's not welcome. Well, grow up. I mean, come on. The pets aren't welcome everywhere.
Okay, and, do we tell our secret about Bo?
Sure.
Tell your secret, what you did for Bo.
What did I do for Bo?
His little certificate.
Oh,
are you? Do I don't you want, know. You don't want to share that?
Well, I will. I made Bo a service dog. You know, I will share that. All you people who have real service dogs, you can plug your ears because you'll be disgusted. But you can go online. Do you know that I also? You can also have Bo as an ordained minister.
You did that at the time.
I did that with my other dog. But anyway, I found a place online, and I'm not going to tell you where it is. You can do your own Google search. Where I think it was like $60. You can make the dog a registered service dog. He gets ID. I carry along ID. He's got a little vest. Now you got to state a reason why you use him as a service dog.
I don't know if we should be sharing this.
We can share it. There's all sorts of reasons. I mean, some people need him for emotional support, and some, you know, for to alert them they don't hear well, and the dog alerts. I don't know. They do all this training that the dog goes through to help them open doors. Then they have things like, I don't understand this one. They have one that you can have a service dog. The reason you need it is because you have sexual dysfunction. Now, I have no idea, and I don't even want to go there, what that means and how that would work out, but that's one reason. Another reason is I'd rather not say, and that's the one I checked, and it didn't make any difference. I got him a service dog certificate, and so we can take him anywhere.
We can take him, but we have never abused this privilege.
No, we ever have.
We went to a hotel once, and they said service dogs could come,
and
we
showed him a picture. I whipped out his ID. I showed out his ID.
And the person at the desk said, "Now that's a service dog." When he looked at Bo's picture, but we did not stay there.
No, we didn't. We went to La Quinta.
Because it wasn't dog friendly, and so we just moved on.
But I have it if I need it in an emergency.
In case of an emergency.
And you know, hey, it works. And he's registered. So Bo is a service dog.
I remember when Bo was running up and down the aisles at a food store.
Yes.
And when I walked out after we got him under control, Bo had gotten off leash and was running up and down the aisles of Trader Joe's. For those of you that know Trader Joe's, I walked out and said to the cashier, well, no one's going to confuse him for a service dog.
Well, he is. He's got a vest, an official vest. I got to pack his vest. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I got it, because there's where we go in Florida, the county doesn't allow any dogs on the beach unless they're service dogs. And I was looking out there and I see a bunch of people with dogs. And so I went out and asked him one day, I said, oh yeah, I make him a service dog and you're good. So I made him a service dog. Now, you have to take him on the beach, but maybe this trip.
Yeah, we're not going to take him on the beach because he's a sled dog.
Anyway,
it's
we hit the road this week and in search of spring. So we'll let you know where we first find spring as we drive down south towards Florida from our Michigan home. We're leaving on the Tuesday, the night before this podcast is released. This was being released on February 15th, and we will have taken off on Valentine's Day night. Hey, are you ready with your tip?
I am.
All right, here's Jennifer.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
We love listening to audiobooks as we drive. With CD players, now a thing of the past for many new vehicles, downloading them and playing them back through a device is the most common way to get them. But they cost a small fortune from the App Store. That's where Hoopla, we'll put a link to that on the show notes, comes in. Hoopla is a free app for Androids, iOS, Apple, or Kindle that lets you download audiobooks directly to your smartphone or tablet from your home public library for free. Naturally, you have to belong to a public library and have a valid membership. Besides audiobooks, Hoopla lets you check out movies and TV shows and, of course, ebooks. They download to your device for offline playing, meaning you're not streaming and thus eating up your data plan or dependent on Wi-Fi. There are hundreds of thousands of titles to choose from and more being added daily. titles are automatically returned and removed from your device at the end of the lending period, typically after a month. We love this app. It saves us money and makes those miles go by faster. Do you have an RV tip you'd like to share? You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtracking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email box. I love hearing from you.
Tip of the week is brought to you by radpowerbikes.com. R-A-D-P-O-W-E-R, radpowerbikes.com. It's an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful, premium electric bikes, now with free shipping. You'll love Rad Power Bikes. If you've looked around any campground, you're finding more and more RVers are using electric bikes. They're so much easier to take than bringing a tow vehicle. And if you're in like a Class B camper van type vehicle, they are perfect. You leave your van all hooked up at the campground and you use the little Rad Power e-bike for transportation. They've got three different models that fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. They can all reach a speed of 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. All three models give riders a choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine them. Pedal some, use throttle for some, whatever you want. It's perfect for people who want to get back into riding, are recovering from surgery or injury, or just need that little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. These are really cool bikes. You owe it to yourself to check it out. Radpowerbikes.com. RADPOWERS.com. And if you mention Road Trekking at checkout, you get an additional $75 off.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. One of our listener RV questions of the week.
Well, we got a note from Gary and Carol, and I'm going to use just email notes. I know many of you like to, we love it when you send in the questions, the audio questions by leaving us a voicemail, but we also get email questions and I save those. And at least once a month, we kind of go through and answer email questions. So here's one that came from Gary and Carol. And they wrote, they cooked something in a slow cooker. Didn't say what it was they were cooking. But as a result of that, they have the odor of that food throughout their RV. They said they've cleaned all of the hard surfaces that didn't do anything. They ran their fantastic fan to suck out all the air. So they're wondering if what they could do that would maybe remove the odor from the soft surfaces like the curtains and the blinds. And so they've asked us that, and I haven't a clue other than maybe take them down and wash them. And you have some cleaning products that you use for blinds, like what's that oil soap that
I just use Murphy's oil soap to wash things. Blinds just wipe things down.
What would cut the odor? Maybe a little vinegar and water would do that.
I like to go to stores where they have jars and they have sprays that supposedly take odor away. I mean, in our bathroom, I go to Bed Bath and Beyond, and I get a little jar of different products that supposedly absorb odor. And I'll put that in the bathroom, or maybe one out just in the rig if we're stopped.
I think for Carol and Bob's case, I think they're thinking that the odors are kind of embedded in that fabric that's on the wall and in the curtains. And curtains you could take down. They're a little tricky to get them off that track, and you could wash them or dry clean them. But and as far as the wall goes, I don't know. There may be a spray. You should certainly go and you could ask a Home Depot supply or Lowe's, someplace like that.
I have stumbled across in Michigan a cleaning place that they clean everything and anything, and they are excellent. It's like a car, getting a car detailed. They will clean the interior of your RV.
So I think that's right.
So
you go
a
to
detailer.
A detailer, an auto detailer, and they would do it. So, yeah, and I put this question out. I originally urged these folks to post it on our Road Trekking Facebook group, and I did not see them do that. They probably don't use Facebook. So I thought I'd throw it out on the podcast, and maybe others have an idea for them. And if you do, send it in. We will we'll share that, because I think that's an area that everybody would like to have a little trick in the back of their mind should they have odors that they need to remove. And
I mean, I use the Clorox wipes to wipe down the bathroom, and then I have something to absorb the odors in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Something to wick away the smells. I get new shower curtains.
Yeah, we get new shower curtains a lot. So, all right. So hopefully if that will give you some ideas, and about Gary and Carol. And then I hope maybe our listeners will have some as well. I like the idea of an auto detailer.
And you try to cook outside.
And you try and cook outside. Yep. Well, if you do that slow cooker, which is kind of nice, you know, you do get those
orders.
You
better like the smell of whatever you're cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. Beef stew. I like that. All right. Here's one. My sister and I are getting ready for a cross-country trip, a straight shot across I-80 in my 2014 Ranger RT. I was looking for a list of all your podcasts. Whoa, that's like 127 of them now with this one. Just the number and title, so we could select those of interest and listen to just those one while we're on the road. Do you have a Word or a PDF document? No. No, I don't. You can print out. No, I don't have that at all. But I'll tell you what, it's even easier than that. Just go to roadtrekking.com, and then you'll see a link right up at the very top called Podcasts. And if you click that, there you see an archive list of the title and the number of what it's about, all of our podcasts, all 127. So that will allow you to do it. But I don't make a PDF list, because it's every week there's a new one, and they're all on the blog. So just go to roadtrekking.com and then click on the podcast in the menu, and they will all show up there, and you can go through the archives. I'm glad you want to listen to it.
I'm glad she wants to listen as well. You got a little on the edge there. You don't want any more work. You're like, no, no more work, please.
People ask all the time, and well, I don't like listening to it. Do you have a transcript of it? No, it's a podcast.
You got enough work.
Now, there are services that do podcasts, would transcribe every word we say. But it would cost me $200 every week just to have somebody do that. And it takes them several days to do it. We record this literally hours before it's released. So that means it wouldn't have any current information on it, because it's got to go to the transcriber. So anyway, this email wasn't on that, but no, I'm not.
And thank you for wanting to listen.
Yes, thank you for digging me out. I just don't want any more work. It's a lot of work. People don't know. All right, one more email question. I'm 85. Not me, the writer. I'm 85 and I have some health issues, heart and arthritis. We live in Tampa, Florida. Hope to leave in April to drive around the country, taking the southern route to San Diego, coast road to Seattle, then east, the northern route. We travel with a Cocker Spaniel and a cat. I'm nervous about lack of cellular service and Mercedes-Benz service on my Sprinter when we get out west. I have the opportunity to buy a 2008 Honda Fit to use as a tow car for flat towing. In the event of problems, we would use the Fit to drive for help. Or side trips into town. What is your suggestion? I notice you don't have a dinghy. That's what they call a tow car. How would you handle a problem where there's no cellular service? Any suggestions? And this is from Maurice. Well, we don't tow a car. We have no problem just driving ours. As I've shared many times, our CS Adventures XL, which is the longest of the Sprinter-based Class B RVs, I use that as a second vehicle when we're back in our Michigan home.
And I don't.
Jennifer doesn't. No, I do. And when we're camped, I just use it to, you know, it's so easy just to unplug. If you're plugged in, we seldom even plug in, but it just takes a minute to unplug and unscrew the hose if you're using city water at a big campground, and off we run. However, the Honda Fit's a nice little car if you want to tow one. It's a lot of extra work. We have never needed one, never said, oh, I wish we just could leave the road trek here. We've never felt that anywhere in 5 years of very active traveling. So that's why we don't have a dinghy. And frankly, sir, I don't think you need one unless you're kind of uncomfortable handling yours. Now, as far as service goes with it, as far as getting your Sprinter serviced on the road, lots of places. We just had to do ours. I think our last big trip, where were we? In Atlanta, and we had some engine issues that came about. And I just got online and found the nearest service dealer and called them. They gave me a couple of other ideas, and it turned out there was one on the route we were going to in Dothan, Alabama, and so we made it there, and they fixed it. We've gone to Mercedes dealers in Florida,
Montana,
Wyoming, all over the country, and never had a problem getting it serviced. So I would not worry about that. And then as far as cellular coverage goes, boy, we use Verizon. Now, they're a sponsor of the show, so take that with a grain of salt. But I was using Verizon exclusively before they became a sponsor. So, and if they were no longer a sponsor, and that could happen because you never know, they're a big corporation, I would still use Verizon. It's the most reliable network that I have found. And there's very, very few places where we don't have cellular coverage. So I hope that allows you to travel free and enjoy that cross-country trip. 85, good for you.
Take your time.
Yeah, take your time. Our 330 rule is what we urge everybody. That means don't go any more than 330 miles in a day, or quit by 3:30 in the afternoon. And that way, it's not quite so stressful.
Not 3:30 in the morning.
Not 3:30 in the morning. No, which is what we might do tomorrow if I leave tonight.
Nope, I know.
I promise I won't. All right. Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. Hey, if you are in the market for a Class B RV, you know they're in high demand. And that is why you will want to check in with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Three dealers that specialize just in Class B RVs from all the major manufacturers. They sell road treks, pleasure ways, leisure travel vans, Class B, B pluses, other small motorhomes. Here's Dan, the van man, with some of the things that they've got going on this week. Hey, Dan.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, this week we have our new Wander in stock here with the Murphy bed on the new Ford Transit diesel chassis. You can check that out at VanCityRV.com. Hey, we also got a great deal on a few used ones. We have a 2016 Unity CB. That's the corner bed with the dinette slide. You can check that out at VanCityRV.com. Hey, we also want to tell you we got some great deals on some road trucks in stock, Chinooks in stock, and we're looking for your great quality trades. So give us a call today, 1-800-467-3905.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
As warm weather comes and our dogs go exploring, we risk the chance of a skunk encounter.
Oh.
Skunks live all over the place. And if your dog gets curious about one, they may end up with a face full of stink. If your pooch gets sprayed, there are ways you can get rid them of the scent without having to buy up every can of tomato juice in the area. Over-the-counter products, such as Nature's Miracle Skunk Odor Remover, are a quick fix. But if you don't have that on hand, you can mix up your own solution. Here's some advice from the Humane Society of the U.S. Mix together 1 quart of 3% hydrogen peroxide, available at any pharmacy, 1/4 cup baking soda, 1 teaspoon liquid dishwashing soap. Wearing rubber gloves, wash your dog with the solution immediately after they've been sprayed. Do not get the solution in their eyes. If you don't have peroxide, baking soda, and liquid soap on hand, you can use that with distilled vinegar and water. Caution, do not store this mixture or make it ahead of time, as the mixture could explode if left in a bottle.
Boom! Whoa!
You know, this isn't doing a lot for me, keeping it out of their eyes, and it could explode.
Yeah, it'll work.
All right, but...
You want skunk skink?
We've had it several times on our pets. Clean and rinse. Rub the mixture through their fur, but don't leave it on too long. This is another scary part. Peroxide can bleach the fur.
You have a blonde dog.
Rinse them thoroughly. Like I'm saying, I don't think I'd do this to Bo. Next, wash your dog with pet shampoo and rinse thoroughly. By now, they should be de-skunked and smelling sweet. Thoroughly towel dry your dog and be sure to place them in a warm, sunny room for the next couple of hours so that they don't get chilled. If your dog rubs against some of your clothes, you can get that stink out by washing it in regular laundry detergent by adding half a cup of baking soda. Here's hoping that you won't have to use any of this. But if that skunk encounter does occur, we hope this advice comes in handy.
All right. Well, that advice is from the Humane Society of the United States. But I didn't think of that. It turned Bo into a blonde with too much peroxide. So what was the name of that product that you had up at the top? What was that? And maybe we'll find a link. Nature's something?
Well, let's see.
Nature's Miracle Skunk Odor Remover.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go find that, and we'll put a link to that. And I think pet stores also have stuff that
well,
you can have.
We've tried using some of that, and maybe it was too long after.
Yeah, it should be right away, they say.
Yeah.
We've also tried tomato juice, and that doesn't work.
But, I mean, and then they smell for 6 months every time they get wet. You know, that smell comes back.
Yeah.
So that's been our experience.
Prevention is the best tool.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, our pet tip of the week brought to you by Dozer's Dental Chews, an all-natural and a very healthy treat that your dog will love, available direct through Amazon or at roadtrekking.com/dozers, D-O-Z-E-R-S. This is by far and away the favorite treat that we give Bo. Bo will run from anywhere in the house if I say, hey, Bo, it's time for a dozers. He knows what they are. They're actually a dental chew. And the purpose is to help freshen your dog's breath while it cleans their teeth and reduce plaque. But the dogs love them. The folks at Dozers gave us a bunch of them, and we've been handing them out to Bo's buddies as we meet them at dog parks and at RV gatherings around the country. And every dog that we have given them absolutely loves these things. They're healthy, and that's what I really like. You can trust these things because it's 100% all natural ingredients, and it's made to exact standards, very clean manufacturing right here in the USA. These are gluten-free treats, low in fat, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no artificial preservatives, and they're different from other dental chews. It's so soft, the chewed pieces will mold and get in between the teeth more effectively than a hard chew, and then you know it doesn't break off or anything. The hollow pockets in the back, you can pack that with dog other treats like peanut butter. Bo doesn't. We don't give anything except dozers, and Bo is just thrilled with them. They come in all different sizes for different sized dogs, and you can find them on Amazon, or I built a direct link in if you go to roadtrekking.com/dozers. roadtrekking.com/dozers, D-O-Z-E-R-S. All right, time for our interview of the week, and this week, my dear, it's you and me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're going to interview ourselves.
They might be sorry they ask.
Yeah, a couple of, now you really haven't had a good look at these questions, so I'm very curious whether you're going to answer some of them, and we'll do our best. I have just saved these. These are questions that, like as I said earlier, are of the more personal nature, and so I've kind of, you know, I didn't think anybody really care about them, but we've gotten several different varieties of all of these questions, and so I thought I'd whip them out, and it's Valentine's Day, and we can talk a little bit about each other. So,
do you realize how dangerous this is? Just letting me talk.
I know. It is very dangerous.
I mean, you're the professional.
It's actually going to be really entertaining for me. I'm very curious how she's going to answer this. So, all right. So let me start with the one. First one. This is an easy one. How did you two meet? How did we meet?
Well, the way everybody meets. I was with my girlfriends at McDonald's, and your friends came to McDonald's. And so we met your friends. And then we went to a dance out at the beach, and it's a roller skating rink that they used to have outdoor dances on.
The Battle of the Bands.
Battle of the Bands.
Bay City, Michigan.
A place where kids went to dance outside under the stars, and it was great fun for teenagers because we were just in high school. And I think I had just graduated from high school. You had just graduated from high school. I was a year younger, so I had my senior year coming up. So we met thanks to McDonald's, meeting your friends, and then at the dance.
That was it. I remember that. And then I asked you out, and you wouldn't go out with me.
Because I was busy.
You're busy. And so I just quit calling you, and then about a week later, you called me. Hey, she's interested, but you still wouldn't go out.
Well, I was busy. We were traveling. My parents had a travel trailer.
You were camping.
And I was camping all the time. I didn't have time. And then my mother said, you keep telling this boy no. You better call him up and talk to them.
Yeah. And that was it. That was our first date. And I actually knew that you were the one that first night.
You went out with me once.
I did.
You went our way to Northern Michigan where your cousin, my nephew,
who was like a brother to me at that time. Yep. And I told him I met the girl I'm going to marry. And this was, I was serious. I can't believe I did that. But it didn't happen for a long time. So.
Yeah. You would have scared me to death if you told me that you wanted to marry me the first time you went out with me.
All right. So that's how we met. And
we were another generation.
We were like high school sweethearts.
Yes.
We really were. And still are. All right. So that's our Valentine's story.
The body gets older, but your spirit doesn't.
Doesn't at all, does it?
No.
And then somebody else wants to know, did you two grow up camping? Well, I never camped until... Well, I did. I guess I should say that. I grew up, we both grew up in Northern Michigan, or actually it's mid-state Lower Peninsula, but they call it up north. Bay City is where we lived. And then we would go, my dad was a big hunter. And so I did a lot of hunting with him and that was in my blood. And I loved to hunt. So the only camping I would do would be at deer camp. As I got older and began to hunt with my own friends as a teenager, or just before we were married. And I would camp out a couple of times there, but that's the only camping I did. Now you, however, were in a travel trailer with your parents.
Yeah, my parents.
In a tent.
In a tent. That used to be a vacation. That my parents didn't own a tent, but they rented a tent. And we all went camping.
Can you rent tents? I didn't know that. I guess you could. And didn't they borrow them?
I shouldn't say rent. They borrowed a tent.
Yeah.
And so, that was great fun. You're a kid. Everything's fun.
Yeah. And so you camped all along like that?
Yeah, we would camp and then we had the travel trailer and it was fun. I could take a friend and it was great fun. And I should say your hunting ended because we didn't like to eat the meat.
No.
If you hunt and you eat the meat, I think that's great. Now you hunt with a camera.
Yeah, I do. And I was a pretty good hunter and I would kill a deer, but I would usually just give it to my friends and then they would eat it. I don't like venison at all. And then shortly after we were married, I got a deer and we had Wendy, actually shortly after Wendy was born. So we'd been married a bit and Wendy, our oldest daughter.
You got to tell the story, don't you?
Yeah. I brought this big 10-point deer home and threw it on their car. And I was so proud driving home and all the other hunters are looking at me going, yeah, ready to go. And I brought it home and pulled into the driveway, with the big fearless deer hunter, with the big 10-point deer in the car. And my daughter, how old was she?
Just a little munchkin.
She came out and she looked at it and a great big tear rolled down her eye and she said, Daddy, why did you do that? And that was the last time I've ever picked up a gun to go deer hunting.
I mean, it's one thing if you eat the meat.
Yeah. So, but that had nothing to do with it.
But camping. I know.
But
no.
Anyway.
But, oh, well.
You see, it gets going like this. All right. Question three.
Dangerous.
Here's another one. Somebody wrote this. Tell us about your family, grandkids, how Jennifer keeps in touch with them. I know you travel a lot. I would like to go too. My husband wants to go everywhere, but how do you keep Jennifer happy when she's far from family and misses the grandkids? Well, that is the question, isn't it? For all you guys out there that want to take your wives out on RV trips for long periods of time, that's the question. So, Jennifer, what do we do?
Well, we are blessed with three children who are married and they have great spouses. And we have seven grandchildren and another grandbaby on the way. In August, there'll be another little Wendland. Our one son and his wife and family live 15 hours away from our home. And our other boy lives about 3.5 hours. And our daughter, it's an hour to get to where she is. So it's not like we got kids really close by, which makes me sad, but it is what it is. And so we try to see everybody as much as we can. And our one little granddaughter, who's 3.5 hours away, I've asked my daughter-in-law and son if we could come over once a month and watch her for the day. Instead of her being in daycare, let us come spend the night and spend a day with her so that we can stay in touch. So, you make some effort to try to see the grandkids. Actually, the hardest grandkids to see are the ones that are an hour away because they're so busy in school and going here and there and everywhere. And dancing lessons to girls. And our boys in Georgia, that 15-hour drive, that was half of the incentive for me getting the place in Florida. Then we're only 4 hours from them, so maybe we can attend more football games. But I find with grandchildren, texting. That's as they get older, to text a little bit. And do your best to try to get to events. So, you know, like the big trip to Alaska, that's another thought for me, is being away from everybody for 3 months. We've not done that. Go away for 3 or 4 months.
No, we will. For example, we're going to, as we said, we're heading down to the Emerald Coast of Florida tonight. We're taking off and we're going to take our time, do some stories on the way down. But on the weekend, one of our grandsons who lives in Georgia is in a baseball tournament about an hour and a half away from where we will be. So we'll drive over there and spend the day watching him play baseball. So you make good with time. Hey, if anybody wants to see our kids or meet them, we actually did a podcast with them back episode 95. So if you go to roadtrekking.com/95, you can... It's titled The Family Legacy of Camping and RVing. And we took all of our kids went camping and RVing with us as they grew up. And they talk about what a difference that made in their lives and how they've passed that on to their kids. And I think you'll get a kick out of meeting and you can see them all. So that's episode 95, roadtrekking.com/95. Okay, another question. You two seem to really like each other, but be honest now. Don't you sometimes get on each other's nerves? I can't wait to hear what she says about this one.
If you want to live with me, you have to let me get to the gym. I have to go work out. I can turn into a little bear after a couple of days if I don't get to work out. You say, now go for a walk, go for a hike. Somebody else asked about health issues. I have a spur under my right kneecap, and so walking on an uneven terrain doesn't agree with this old body. But I worked in a health club for 30 years. I love going to the gym. And you will agree that if I don't get to my gym, I can be a little...
You can.
Yes.
But the question is, I guess cooped up in a motorhome, don't you sometimes get on each other's nerves?
No.
If anybody looked at... the most famous line you are known for, my dear, is one of our first videos that we did were 10 steps for getting along in an RV. And in that one day, you were doing something and I wanted to do something and you looked at me and you said, I need some space with you not in it.
Well, you know, when you're trying to work, you
Jennifer,
tend to
that's
be...
That's a famous line. Though.
I know, you made it famous. You couldn't wait to go tell the world that.
Kicked me right out.
But you're kind of oblivious to what's going on and I'm in the box.
You were in the box.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... But we do get along very well, and I guess you know that's the white reason we do this. We get along really well.
I remember once our daughter said, "You two don't fight. That's not healthy."
We don't fight. We really
usually get along.
Yeah, we don't even have strong disagreements. We do have disagreements, but usually, guys, come on, Jennifer, don't listen to this. Men, you know that they're always right, right? So what can I say? You're always right, dear. All right. But we do like each other. And I think that's probably the most important thing. If you're going to go off for long periods of time in an RV, you better be very, you better really like the person you're going to be traveling with. Right?
True.
All right. All right. Here's another question that's kind of related to that. Mike and Jennifer, you seem to be very different. It seems hard to imagine such different personalities meshing on long trips in confined quarters. Kind of the same question, but we are night and day different. Isn't that the true about opposites attract, I guess?
Yes, I heard that once in a sermon, that opposites attract and then they attack. I mean, because you all have your strengths and your weaknesses. And I am more detail oriented. You see big pictures, you know, you're happy, you see potential, you get so excited about life. And I'm kind of a little bit more of a, okay, how are we going to do this?
You're melancholy. If anybody's studied the temperaments, this was actually a key to our marriage.
It kept our marriage together, actually, learning about the four temperaments.
You know, and then why is that important? Well, everybody is one of four temperaments. You're either a choleric, which is...
You get it done, and you don't care who you step on, and then you can't believe nobody appreciates.
You're bossy.
You're bossy.
You are phlegmatic.
You are a peacemaker.
You just want peace. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are a sanguine.
You are so happy. I mean, you overcommit, you overextend, you want to do it all.
Or you are a melancholy.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't choose to be a melancholy, but I am. I mean, when soon as Mike realized that if you gave me a flower and there was a petal missing, I would see the missing petal. He would just see the flower.
Yep.
Which is a wonderful way to be.
So if you haven't figured this out, I'm the sanguine. Jennifer's the melancholy. But there are little traits that you have that the other person has as well.
There are the good things and the bad things with.
And sometimes you can be temperate. A blend. You can be a choleric melancholy. Oh, good to be for that. And it's very rare that you'll find two cholerics marrying each other because they would be at each other's throat, or two sanguines marrying each other because they would just be chasing butterflies and burn out. So that helps to understand. And then you understand when one person acts in a way that seems a little
totally illogical to you.
You understand that their personality, their temperament is different, and you try to accommodate that temperament. Does that make sense?
I hope it makes sense, because like I say, it literally saved our marriage.
It did. And then you learn other things like love languages. Everybody has a love language. And guys, don't get excited here. We're talking about what it is that makes the other person feel loved and appreciated.
There are five. And there are acts of service. That's how I feel loved. I tend to wait on people, and I like being served.
So if I want to serve you, I would do the vacuuming.
You would take the car to the car wash. That would make me really happy. You don't even notice the car is dirty.
No.
I like clean.
Okay. But so that's active service. That's Jennifer's love language.
Words. Some people need lots of
affirmation. Time. Words of affirmation is the other thing. These are called love languages.
People need time, quality time. I mean, everybody needs these things, but some people it means more.
It's more specific. Time, words,
than others.
Active service.
Gifts.
Giving gifts, and you know,
I mean, you could give them a dandelion flower,
but
it's a gift,
and it means something to them. And then touch,
and like I say, all five of these are important, but everybody's got one that really makes them feel loved. And chances are, what makes you feel loved doesn't make your spouse feel loved. Like, you wrote me this beautiful page of all these wonderful words. It was just lovely.
I did.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That was it. Yeah.
But that was a bit insensitive of me, too. That's another
certainly
topic.
Certainly was. But anyway, now we're sounding like we're giving pop psychology lessons. But you ask how we get along.
That's how we get along.
And we're very different. And having an idea of the other person's temperament, strengths, and weaknesses, and their love languages, what makes them feel loved and appreciated. And then you try to accommodate each other, and you'll be amazed how well you get along. All right. How do you manage to survive on long trips in such a small motorhome? Good question. Now, our motorhome is 24 feet long.
Yeah. You have to have small house, big yard.
I have one rule, and that is a place. This doesn't sound right for a sanguine, as we just were talking about, but it's true in the motorhome. A place for everything and everything in a place, and you put it back in its place. You don't leave stuff out, right? In the house. Don't you wish I would do that at home? Yeah.
Well, I think you do have order, you know, because there has to be some kind of order. You can't survive. I'm getting more sanguine. You're getting more melancholy as
our thing.
But we age.
But so putting everything into place, and then really only one person can kind of be in that space at the same time. So you have to, you can't just rush through. You want to make sure you know where the other person is. How else do we survive in a small motorhome?
Well, I mean, I think the hardest thing for me is if I can't sleep and I want to read and I don't want to turn a light on to bother you. And, you know, we got the 55-pound dog.
You know, we keep talking about that, but a lot of people have put a tension rod in front of, say, the bathroom, and then a blackout curtain. And then you could go up front,
right,
and you could sit in one of those other chairs and turn a chair around. And we keep talking about that. We should probably do that sometime.
Yeah, we do need to do that, because if I eat chocolate, I'm wired. We shared that once. I drove to like 3:30 in the morning because I had a glob of chocolate.
Yeah, that's the other thing, you know.
Caffeine.
I get behind the wheel, and I just want to get there. And Jennifer wants to stop and just take our time a little bit, and I get that type A thing. We do like to serendipity travel and stop and see stuff, but generally, if I want to go like all night tonight when we leave at 7 o'clock in the evening, I want to go all night, I'll give her some chocolate. I'm good. But one other way we survive is we treat ourselves to a night in a hotel or a lodge from time to time as we are driving. You don't always have to stay in that motorhome. Sometimes we will go to a La Quinta, which is dog friendly and lets you bring dogs in.
It has to have a workout area.
And the other thing we do is Jennifer's not, she doesn't really like using the shower in our little Class B motorhome. She will if that was all there is, but we are members of, and we've shared this many times before, of a national health group. We belong to, happens to be Anytime Fitness. There are, they seem to be everywhere we go more than any other chain, and in them you have really nice individual private bathrooms and showers, so we can go get her workout. See, guys, I knocked that off.
I think there's over 3,000 Anytime Fitnesses.
So we get to get a workout and be at least, you know, try and maintain our health on the road, and then we have a nice private, hot, extremely luxurious shower that you can take. Because when you take a shower in a little road trek, it's a quick one because you can't carry that much fresh water with you.
Yeah, because I quit working a year ago at LA Fitness, but those are all in big cities.
Yep.
And we're not usually in big cities.
All right. You guys are always gushing about how much you like the RV lifestyle, but tell us what you don't like about it. Okay.
Big cities.
Yeah.
I don't like big cities anyway. You know, like Atlanta is always crazy.
I've spent so much of my professional life in and around big cities that I'm amazed at how I just don't like even going near them. Although we did one last year. We spent some time in Nashville and had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We did a couple, 3 stories and knocked around Atlanta.
Yes, we
did. Last summer and had a really good time. But big cities, traffic is what we're talking about, basically. We don't like that. Hate sitting in traffic. Let's see, what else don't we like about it? What else don't we like about it? Probably it's hard to stay on a healthy eating schedule when you are in an RV. Yes, you can make your own meals, but no matter, even 5 years into this, we still feel we're on vacation every time we're in an RV.
We are bad.
And that's a good thing, to feel that relaxed and liking it, but it makes it really difficult to stay healthy, to eat healthy, because there's just so many wonderful regional places that we love to eat at, regional little mom and pop places, and eat country food and specialties of the region. And let's face it, if it tastes that good, it's probably not that good for you. So
I don't feel well if I don't eat right. You can eat tin cans.
Okay. thanks, dear.
You're a good eater.
How does Bo like all the traveling? Somebody asked. Bo is a year old. We just put a picture up on our Facebook group. When they gave him a year ago, they gave him as a surprise birthday present to both of us. And he was an 10 week old puppy. And now he's a year. He's all kind of full grown. And we started him traveling right away. We put him in the road trek even as a 10-week-old puppy, and he got to learn that that's a fun machine. It takes him to fun places, and I think he likes it. He even handles those long, day-long trips when we're driving 10 hours a day. He handles them very well.
Every trip, he's getting better because, you know, it used to be we had to get used to having a pup because we had an old dog that was so well-behaved. I mean, we had to learn that when you stop and you open the door, Bo would be out before you. I mean, we have to be sharp and alert because he'd go bolting out.
Keeps you
out
on your toes, yeah. But he likes traveling. The key to that is you have to factor him into everything, and we try and find off-leash dog parks in the cities that we visit. We'll actually do a little search using an app, you know, or a website like Go Pet Friendly. That's a good one, gopetfriendly.com, and we'll find off-leash parks and take him for long walks and let him run loose and play with the hooligans out there in the dog park.
I think the hardest thing is he's so enthusiastic because he's used to being at doggy daycare and going to the dog park to run, that when he sees another dog, he's just like, hey, here I am, let's play. Yeah. And the other people are looking like, what is the matter with that dog?
Oh, he loves
but
to play. Loves
in time,
dogs.
We'll hopefully get him to settle down a little more.
All right, we've got two more questions, and we'll get to those. Here's a good one. How long do you two plan to keep living like this? Now, this is our fifth year of it. Jennifer, how long?
I'm happy.
Yeah?
I'm happy. It's a little adventure mobile.
It's what we think of our road trek. It's an adventure mobile. And we just love it. We've been home in our sticks and bricks home for 2.5 weeks, and we're leaving tonight. This is one of our longer trip home, and we are on the road half or a little over half of the time we are away. And The thing is that we're doing what we want to do. And as long as you're doing what you want to do, you know, you're pretty happy.
And if we get tired of it or something happens, we're not happy, we won't do it.
Yeah. So, and that's the beauty. You can, you know, these RVs have great retail value, resale value. You can sell them when you're done. And you can go do something else. I know some people who have RV'd for a number of years, and then they sold their RV and got a boat. Now they're traveling around port to port in a boat, and vice versa. I know people who've come in from boats to do that. But you know, you're limited, I guess, by finances and health. And for me, it's just as when I start thinking about it as a job or something I have to do, then I'm not going to want to do it anymore. And I mean, I get excited to go. We're home 2 days and I'm ready to go again. And you're pretty much the same. You're busy for 2 days just cleaning and stuff. But then after that, you're ready to go. So the answer to that is, hey, as long as we can, as long as we want to. That's mm-hmm. That's the thing. And then the last question kind of relates to that is, well, I'll ask it. How old are you and how is your health? It's none of their business how old.
I figure you're as old as you feel.
Oh.
For that 85-year-old, you're as old as you feel. Yeah, if you can move and see and hear and want to go, go.
I still feel like I'm 22 years old.
I remember my father telling me, my father lived to be 91, and he said, you never feel any older than 18.
You don't. And I mean, we have both been very blessed with good health. I've had a knee replacement and a shoulder replacement. That's from arthritis that I had, and you know, that's the only health issues that we've had. That was just some recovery. Our health is excellent. We're officially senior citizens, but we're feeling pretty darn good. The big challenge is health wise is for me, it's weight. I tend to put on weight really easily. You burn it off because you flit here and there and are very much more active.
In a small space, I can't flit quite as much.
You can't flit as much, but you eat much more healthy than I do. I like
that's because I don't feel well. I mean, if I have to eat right so that I feel good.
And I feel good
no matter what you eat, cotton candy, popcorn.
Popcorn. You listen, I could eat popcorn breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is like the best food. It's better than pizza. I like pizza, but popcorn, I love popcorn. In fact, that's the only reason I go to a movie is so I can eat popcorn. But anyway, our health is really good. We feel really, really good. And Lord willing, we'll keep doing this. And every day is a blessing. And for those who have been thinking about getting in the RV lifestyle, I hope that answers some of your questions. And we didn't dodge too many of them. We didn't say how old we were.
I'm not telling. Right. You tell, you'll be in trouble, boy.
Okay. I'm not going to tell, I promise. Okay, but she's still my bride.
That's right.
And on this Valentine's Day week, are you still my Valentine?
I am.
All right. I love you, dear. All right, the interview of the week is brought to you. It feels weird for us to be the interview of the week, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Nobody's going to listen to this.
Nobody's going to listen to this dribble.
I don't even know how I'm going to promote it. Okay, well, anyway. Next week, I promise we've got a really good interview. Anyway, the interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com. All one word, SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or every used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to Road Trekking listeners free anywhere in the country. You buy your used one from Sunshine State RVs, they will deliver it to your driveway. Sunshine State RVs has, I think, the largest selection that you can find anywhere in North America of Class B RVs, used Class B RVs, anywhere. I mean, if you are looking for a used Class B RV, you either want to make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida, or check them out online at sunshinestaterVs.com. Their RVs range from the late 1990s to the current year, everything in between. They carry Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, leisure travel, and more. We visited them not long ago, and I was just amazed that every used RV that they sell has gone through this very thorough 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition, that every RV is road tested to make sure that it runs and that it drives the exact way that it should. They are amazing how they go through this thing. They detail it, they clean it. It is just a beautiful restoration almost that they do of every used RV. They road test them. They go over the interior components just as entirely as they do the outside. Every component is turned on and tested. Anyway, check it out. SunshineStateRVs.com. They have more used RVs in the Class B category than you'll find anywhere else. And again, if you buy a new or used Road Trek motorhome from SunshineStateRVs.com, they will deliver it free to your driveway anywhere in America. And that is a pretty good deal.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
All right, it's all wildlife related news that I have this week. First one's from Yellowstone National Park. Big controversy up there. If you've been to Yellowstone, you have seen how many bison that they have, also known as buffalo. Well, they have started to harvest or to slaughter, to kill a number of these bison. Because there's just so many of them. And it's causing a great deal of controversy, particularly with some of the nearby Native American tribes that are objecting to this. On Wednesday, they started shipping hundreds, the National Park Service did, hundreds of wild bison to slaughter them. And they do this for disease control. They have a quarantine facility on a Montana Indian reservation that could help with this, and they're not doing that. And that's what the Indian tribes would really like them to do. Send them to us, they say. We'll take them away. But they've captured 400 bison, and they were trying to migrate out of the snow-covered park to lower elevations in Montana in search of food. And a couple of the Native American tribes built this quarantine facility to house up to 300 animals, and they wanted to, you know, make sure they're healthy and everything, and then use them to establish new herds across the U.S. With Yellowstone's pure bison. Yellowstone's bison are genetically pure bison, and that's why they're so desirable. But the tribe says that the Park Service knew that the Native American tribes were building a quarantine facility. They spent a lot of money and time on it, and they can't understand why Yellowstone is choosing to slaughter the bison instead. It's a big controversy up there. The park had an agreement that they would have a population goal of 3,000 bison when they started to introduce them into the park. Well, there's now about 5,500 bison at the last count. And so they're trying to reduce that number. They want to kill up to 1,300 this winter through a combination of slaughter and public hunting. And people are upset about that. Lots of controversy. So you can follow that. Just do a search under Yellowstone bison slaughter, and you'll get a lot of information. Down in Florida, a little bit better news. This involves the Florida panther. There are a lot of panthers out there, and the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants help from the public in reporting panther sightings. So a lot of you are snowbirds, a lot of you listening to us down there right now. If you have any, particularly if you see panther tracks, take some photos of them. If you see panthers, if you can, get a picture of them. If you just see them, even so, report those sightings. The Florida Wildlife Conservation Commission is interested in photos of their tracks, photos of the animals. They've been very pleased. They have noted that they've gotten more than 3,700 reports over the past several years. And biologists were able to identify 922 sightings of the panther. So there's a bunch of them. Most of them in southwest Florida, although they're starting to now show up north. And they'd love to know more about them. One more wildlife story, and this is about the gray wolf, which is, again, a political flashpoint in the Midwest. This has been going on for years now, but the fate of the gray wolf in the upper Midwest is pitting hunters and ranchers against conservationists. It's back now in the hands of Congress. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators and House members have introduced legislation that would supersede a court ruling and remove the gray wolf from federal protection, arguing that the wolf population is now healthy and stable, does not need that protection. You'll know the gray wolf was on the brink of extinction back in the mid-20th century. It's battled back, largely thanks to its inclusion on the Endangered Species Act. There were 3,600 wolves in the Western Great Lakes region in 2015, which was the most recent count. And these wolves are causing issues in Michigan's Upper Peninsula and throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin. Farmers, ranchers are saying that they're taking out their livestock. Michigan at one point had a wolf hunting season that was fought in court and put on a hold. It's controversial there in Michigan. It's now back in Congress, which wants to remove that whole protection thing. And we will put links to all of these stories on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/127. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. That's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. I'll be using my Aldi tonight as we camp someplace probably in Ohio, northern Ohio, where it will be kind of cold after we hit the road tonight. But I turn on that Aldi heat and that silent, hydronic, radiant system brings me a warmth that is so comfortable. It's not dry like that forced air stuff that comes out when you run a propane heater with forced air. This silent radiant heat, it's like the high-end baseboard heat that you get in luxury homes. Well, the Aldi hydronic system is so efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It'll extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over forced air. There are multiple options, multiple amenities, but the thing that you will like about it is that warm, even heat that it provides. It's so comfortable. We also have, as one of the options on ours, we have heated floors. So you get up in the middle of the night or in the early morning when you first get up and it's cool out there, that heated floor is so comfortable to walk on. Aldi, A-L-D-E. It is the only name that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV, and it's now available on a number of different road trekking road treks, as well as I think some Winnebagos have them. You can ask your dealer for them, but tell them that Aldi, A-L-D-E, that's the heating system that you want.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Hey, time to check in on this Valentine's Day week with our buddy Steve Van Dinter from Verizon Wireless.
Hey, hi there, Mike. Did you know heart disease is the leading cause of death for men and women in the U.S.? Well, that's one of the reasons we devote the month of February to raising awareness and making heart-healthy choices. And believe it or not, technology can help your ticker as well. For instance, the Fitbit Charge 2 is a fitness wristband with heart health at its core. Equipped with wrist-based heart rate monitoring, the Fitbit Charge 2 provides simplified heart rate zones to make sure you're pushing your heart when working out, and it also keeps track of trends so you can see your fitness levels are improving. While music not only touches your heart, it can also inspire you to pump up your heart rate. The LG Tone Active Plus features a built-in fitness tracker that counts calories, steps, distance, and your workout history. Plus, it's water and sweat resistant and can be connected to external stereo speakers for a personal surround sound experience. And finally, if you're needing motivation, the Move Now 3D Fitness Tracker and Real-Time Audio Coach may be just the ticket. This gadget provides real-time audio coaching to better heart health and more productive workouts. The fitness tracker actively monitors exact movement and analyzes it, then offers you suggestions such as tips to improve your workout or correct your form. Now that's some information you'll want to take to heart. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Hey, take it to heart. Get it? Valentine's Day, heart. Oh, good deal. All links to all the stuff that Steve just shared, I'll put in the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/127. And the technology report every week brought to you by Verizon Wireless, which operates America's most reliable wireless network, more than 112 million retail connections. Hey, when Verizon says better matters, and they mean it, and they can back it up, because Verizon has been the highest ranked in 3 leading network studies in multiple tests year after year. Verizon's number one for network quality performance. They are number one for network performance satisfaction. And they are also number one for overall network performance. In the nation's largest independent study, Verizon ranked number one overall network performance in the United States by Root Metrics for many different testing periods, year after year, period after period. Can your network say that? If you are stuck on the wrong network, just all you have to do is head over to Verizon and get unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, Valentine's week, and the theme continues with our Off the Beaten Path reporters, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. It's Valentine's Day, and we thought we would tell you a bit about what going off the beaten path means to us. We had our first night of camping together 40 years ago this month, and believe it or not, it was in a Class B, a 1969 Volkswagen camper. A sink, an icebox, a stove, and a sofa in the back that folded down into a bed. Thinking back, it was a lot like our road trek. Back then, we had to avoid the highways because we weren't fast enough to keep up with traffic, or because going fast created an uncomfortable draft from the leaky windows and doors.
Over the years, we carve out our own beaten paths, professional and personal, that make daily life efficient and productive. A couple weeks ago, you interviewed Howard Payne about full-timing. He related that a trip to Alaska had pointed out to him and his wife how they'd been living parallel lives without really noticing it. The trip brought them back together. Sort of like traveling on a multi-lane highway, don't you think? Smooth flow of traffic, pass or get passed, focus on the destination, and focus on getting off at the right exit.
Some wise friends advised us about this way of traveling early on in our marriage. We learned to get off onto each other's beaten path frequently, to develop shared interests and be sure we knew what was going on in the other person's life. Sort of like traveling the back roads, the slow roads, where whether you like it or not, you get the full experience. Potholes and farm tractors, yes, as well as sunsets over the hilltop and homemade ice cream by the side of the road.
We've spent plenty of time on the interstates, meeting a deadline, avoiding construction, bypassing icy, hilly alternatives. We've even had adventures on them, like the time the rack system loaded with kayaks and bicycles slid off the trailer at 65 miles an hour, or the time we drove across Pennsylvania under a full moon because the headlights weren't working. It seems our interstate highway experiences are inclined to be more hair-raising than relaxing. And as we zip along at the speed limit, we always know we're missing something on that old road just over there, and we wonder what it might be.
So, for Valentine's Day, here are a few of our favorite romantic memories.
Strolling in the sunrise at the Dalhousie Wilderness of New Mexico.
Cooking pancakes by Jefferson Lake in the Rockies on a frosty morning.
Eating fresh seafood on the deck of the Wild Restaurant on a tidal creek in Georgia.
Watching the sunshine on Capitol Reef from a swimming pool in Torrey, Utah after a long, hot day.
Seeing the sunset on the Toronto skyline across Lake Huron from Four Mile Creek Campground.
Hiking the South Dakota Badlands by moonlight.
Snuggling into our blankets on a zero-degree night in Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
And falling asleep to the sound of the waves on the Oregon coast.
We're Patty and Tom Burkett, and if you watch, you'll find us poking around out there somewhere off the beaten path.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we're still in the heart of the RV show calendar around North America. 10 big shows scheduled for this weekend. Let me go through them as fast as I can for you. And we'll have links to them under the show notes for this episode, which is 127. roadtrekking.com/127. All right, here we go. This weekend, February 15th through the 19th, the Houston RV Show at the NRG Center in Houston, Texas. In Austin, Texas, February 16th through the 19th, the Austin RV Super Sale at the Austin Convention Center. In Chicago, February 16th through the 19th, the Chicago RV and Camping Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Palatine, Illinois. In West Palm Beach, Florida, it's the West Palm Beach RV Show, February 16th through the 19th at the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach, Florida. in Atlantic City. It is at the Atlantic City Convention Center this weekend. It is the Atlantic City RV and Camping Show, February 17th through the 19th, Atlantic City, New Jersey. In Maryland, at the Maryland State Fairgrounds in Timonium, Maryland, it is the Maryland RV Show, February 17th through the 19th, and it's also next weekend, too, the 24th through the 26th. In Vermont, the Vermont State RV and Camping Show at Champlain Valley Expo in Essex Junction, Vermont, February 17th through the 19th. Still out east, the Northeast RV New Products Show, February 17th through the 20th at the Rockland Community College Fieldhouse in Suffern, New York. In Springfield, Massachusetts, the Springfield RV Camping and Outdoor Show, February 17th through the 20th at the Eastern States Expo. That's at West Springfield in Massachusetts. And in Indianapolis, rounding it all out for us, February 17th through the 26th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Boat, Sport, and Travel Show. On the roadtrekking.com/127 show notes for this episode, you can find a complete list of these RV shows and everything else coming up for this year. Just click it and you can start planning to go.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking.
All right, thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Be nice to your Valentine this week. So ends another episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, please record us a voicemail message. We absolutely love hearing and having your voices as a part of the podcast. You just go to roadtrekking.com, look over on the right-hand side, and there is a little link. It says leave voicemail message. Click that. You use the microphone that's built into your computer or your smartphone or your tablet, and you can record it over and over as many times as you want. And then when you're done, just click and it will send it directly to us and we can use it in the podcast. Look for us live this week on Facebook, on the Road Trekking Facebook group. We'll be doing periodic Facebook Live reports as we go in search of spring, traveling I-75 and then I-65, eventually making our way down to the Gulf Coast of Florida. So we'll have some reports, some pictures, some live video blogs, and Facebook Live reports as well. Hey, I hope you've had a great Valentine's Day week. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week as we go road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.